Welcome back. In this lesson, we're getting into a very specific, but seriously important advanced drum and bass skill, arranging a dark roller so it actually works for doubles. This is booth thinking production, not just making a tune that sounds sick on its own, but making one that a DJ can double drop, layer and ride for longer phrases without the whole mix turning into a wall of conflict. A lot of producers can make a nasty drop. That's not the hard part anymore. The hard part is restraint. The hard part is utility. And with dark rollers especially, that's where the real craft shows up. If your arrangement is too full spectrum all the time, too crowded in the mids, too eager to show every idea at once, it might sound impressive solo, but it becomes awkward in the mix. Dark rollers hit hardest when they leave room. Groove, space, repetition, pressure. That's the game. So today in Ableton Live, we're building an arrangement that is DJ-friendly, double-drop compatible, dark, rolling, spacious, and clearly structured around 16-bar and 32-bar phrasing. And just to frame this correctly, making it more mixable does not mean making it boring. It means making it more effective. More dangerous, honestly, because now it works in the club. We're aiming for a reliable structure at 174 BPM. Bars 1 to 17 are your DJ intro. 17 to 33 is your build. 33 to 65 is drop 1. 65 to 81 is your breakdown or reset. 81 to 113 is drop 2. Then 113 to 129 is your DJ outro. That format gives you enough room for phrase-based mixing, multiple entry points for doubles, and a very readable shape for anyone playing the tune out. Let's start by setting the project up properly, because good arrangement choices are easier when the session is laid out for them. Set the tempo to 174 BPM. Keep the time signature at 4/4. Set global quantization to 1 bar in arrangement view. Use a fixed 1-bar grid most of the time, then zoom into quarter note detail when you're editing fills or transitions. Now organize your tracks in a way that lets you make fast arrangement decisions. Group your drums, your basses, your atmos and musical layers, and then a utility section for references, marker tracks, and arrangement notes. If your session is chaotic, your arrangement usually follows. On your drum group, a light glue compressor can help hold things together. 3-millisecond attack, auto release, ratio at 2 to 1 and just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Keep it subtle. Add EQ aid if your cymbals are stacking up too aggressively in the top end. On the bass group, use EQ aid to keep the sub lane clean. Add a little saturator with soft clip-on, maybe 1 to 3 dB of drive and only light compression if needed. The point here is control, not hype. And on the master while arranging, keep a limiter only for safety, not loudness. Optional spectrum is useful just to visually check what your low end is doing. Now before you place anything serious on the timeline, create locator markers. This is one of those advanced habits that feels basic, but it changes everything. Add markers at 1 for intro, 17 for build, 33 for drop 1, 49 for drop 1 variation, 65 for breakdown, 81 for drop 2, 97 for drop 2 lift, and 113 for outro. This forces you to think in DJ phrases instead of random loop extension. In DNB, phrase clarity matters massively. Big changes should usually happen every 16 bars, smaller movement every 8, and subtle fills every 4. If your tune starts making major decisions at weird lengths like 6 or 10 bars for no reason, it gets harder to mix and harder to read. Here's a powerful extra habit. Build mix windows on purpose. Don't leave DJ compatibility to chance. Add extra locators or empty MIDI clips labeled things like safe double, sub light, mid open, or low vocal risk. That sounds nerdy, but it makes you arrange with real intent. Now let's build the intro. A DJ-friendly intro is not just drums for a bit. It needs to be easy to beat match, easy to phrase, spectrally balanced, and not too dominant when another track is already playing. For bars 1 to 9, start with a full kick and snare pattern, hats, maybe the little top percussion, some atmosphere, and a subtle filtered bass texture or distant Reese ghost. What you do not want here is the full main bass hook, the heavy lead stab, a dominant vocal phrase or too much sub energy. That's a big principle for this whole lesson, actually. Tease identity without spending all your energy too early. From bars 9 to 17, start adding gentle signals that the phrase is moving. Maybe one bass teaser every 4 or 8 bars, a filtered riser, and a small fill before bar 17. A nice Ableton move here is putting auto filter on the intro bass teaser. Use a low pass filter starting somewhere around 250 to 400 Hz, then automated opening to maybe 1 or 2 kHz by the end of the intro. add utility and keep the width narrowed, maybe 0 to 50%, so it stays monosafe. Optional short reverb. Very low dry wet, just enough to place it. For drum layering, keep it practical. Main drum loop. One coasted break underneath at low level, an Atmos loop high passed above 300 HC and maybe the quiet shaker. If the break layer is cluttering your hats or low mids, use a QA to high pass at around 150 to 250 HC and low pass it if necessary around 6 to 10 KHC. Why does this work for doubles? Because this intro doesn't fight too hard for subspace, lead focus, or vocal attention. It gives a DJ room to blend. Now let's move into drop one. And this is where a lot of advanced producers still get trapped. They make the first drop sound huge in solo playback, but useless in a layered mix. For dark rollers, drop one should feel heavy, stripped, confident, and repetitive in a good way. Bars 33 to 49 should be the core groove. Kick, snare, hats, sub, main mid bass, maybe one call and response texture, and sparse Atmos. That's plenty. Ask yourself a blunt question here. Can another tune sit over this for 16 bars without total chaos? If the answer is no, strip something out. A useful density rule is this. Always on. Kick and snare, sub, one main bass phrase. This audio version is shortened for playback.